First, a couple of announcements. This week is the solemnity of St. Joseph, the husband of Mary. And being a solemnity, you actually get a little break from your Lenten penance. That's as long as your penance wasn't, you'll stop cursing and things like that. You shouldn't be doing that anyway. So, but from our fasting and stuff, we actually get a wonderful little day of vacation. We plan to have a special mass that night in Old St. Mary's and hope you're able to come and celebrate. Secondly, though, what's probably more on your mind are the various precautions and such that we have received, the updated precautions regarding the coronavirus and pandemic. So since the bulletin has to go to print early on Tuesday morning, my column is always done very early, and so I can't catch things in between except by letter. So in the bulletin, there's also a letter from me that I encourage you to please take and read that has the further precautions that our bishop has asked us to do. Of course, first and foremost, I encourage us all to pray. We're Catholic. This is not the first plague that we've been through. We've been through a lot. In fact, we first and foremost pray. We have processions. We do things, including praying to, of course, our Lord. He might help us help end this epidemic. Also asking Our Lady, we have title, Mary, Help of Christians. She comes and is able to intercede and help. We also have patron saints for plagues and epidemics, St. Roch and St. Tecla. And probably most interestingly, I found out that there is another saint, a little less known, but her name is St. Corona, and her relics are in the church in northern Italy. So it may be that she is the one we should be asking more than anyone else. So as you'll see in my letter, there are a few temporary measures. I just want to highlight a couple of those for you. Of course, the holy water you've noticed has been emptied, though the tank in the corner, you can still take some home for your personal use. We have removed the missalettes and hymnals from the pews. If you still want to be able to read along, you can, of course, bring your own missal, or you can print them off for your own use. You'll notice as well, will notice that the ordos, the music things that you're using, the trifolds, we'll only use once, so they're not reused at all. So either leave them in the pew or put them in the baskets that we'll provide at the end of Mass to be recycled. Of course, we are continuing to suspend the sign of peace, exchange anyway, and also distribution of the precious blood in the common chalices. For the distribution of Holy Communion for the Sacred Host, the bishop highly recommends that the distribution be only in the hand. If you still wish to receive in the traditional manner on the tongue, please go to a priest or deacon. All the extraordinary ministers will only distribute in the hand. And also, you'll notice our extraordinary ministers will be diligent in sanitizing their hands before and after communion. And finally, the faithful are reminded that you're not obliged to attend Mass if you're sick. You already have that in church law, that if you're sick, there is no obligation. That extends also if you're taking care of someone who has a cold or flu, then you are, by that same extension, not obliged to come to Mass, so that you don't bring more than your beautiful smile along with you. And Bishop Guglielmone has also granted a dispensation from the obligation to attend Mass for any of those who are at high risk of adverse health complications from COVID-19 or people who don't feel comfortable one way or the other. So he's already granted that as a dispensation. And finally, for those who are not able to receive, they can watch Mass. I've done a couple of links here. And there's a prayer of spiritual communion at the end of the letter. And again, we pray that this will pass soon and as safely as possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When visiting any of the chapels of the Missionaries of Charity, that's the religious order that Mother Teresa founded, you're immediately struck by the simplicity of their holy places. There are no fans if it's hot, and there are no heaters if it's cold. Mother Teresa wanted them to live like the poor, the poorest of the poor. There are no chairs, there are no pews, and no kneelers. The sisters take off their shoes before entering chapel, and they sit and kneel on the bare floor. Mother Teresa did this all the way to the end herself. Typically, there's a gold tabernacle behind the altar, and in one corner, a statue of the Blessed Mother, of course. But the image that stands out probably most is a large crucifix behind the altar, and the stark words painted in bold, dark capital letters under one arm of the crucifix, "I thirst." Mother Teresa said that these words, which are taken from some of Jesus' last words from the cross on Good Friday, she said these were a constant reminder of the purpose of her order. She said, "We have these words in every chapel of the Missionaries of Charity to remind us why a missionary of charity is here, to quench the thirst of Jesus for souls, for love, for kindness, and for compassion." Now, usually when you and I are feeling perhaps a bit more religious, we might think about what we could call our thirst for God. But Mother Teresa focused on God's thirst for us. Jesus is constantly awaiting our response to his thirst. "Give me to drink. I thirst." Mother Teresa told her sisters even to put their own name before those words, "I thirst," to personalize it. So you can hear Jesus saying, for example, "Sister Mary Vincent, I thirst." You and I can do the same thing. We can put ourselves in the silent presence of God, in a quiet place at home or in front of the Blessed Sacrament at church or in the chapel, and prayerfully imagine Jesus gently calling our name, speaking his parting words from the cross personally to each one of us. "Deacon Al, I thirst. Colette, I thirst. Mary, I thirst. Stephen, I thirst." Just put yourself in front of the tabernacle. Don't let anything disturb you. Hear your own name, and "I thirst." I thirst for purity. I thirst for poverty. I thirst for obedience. I thirst for wholehearted love. I thirst for your total surrender. We call ourselves Christians. Are we living a life deeply connected to Christ, who gives us life, who gives us the name Christian, the one through whom all things were made, as we say in the Creed? He thirsts for our total surrender to him. Why would a Samaritan woman walk a mile and a half alone in midday heat to fetch her water? She was more than thirsty. She was an outcast, a known sinner. She was not welcomed among her people. Had she been welcomed, she would be going in the morning or in the evening with the other women, and they would get together and talk and get water and then head back while it was still cool. But she comes out in the middle of the day because she is utterly alone in this. Jesus reaches out to her, risking ritual impurity and jeers and sneers from his fellow Jews. He treated the woman like he would treat one of his friends. He greeted her and spoke at length with her. This was a person people talked about behind her back. This was a woman people rejected as a lost cause. She was a person you wouldn't even think of being seen with, let alone having a conversation with, chatting with her. But Jesus breaks through these barriers of prejudice and gossip and hostility to bring her the good news. No one is barred from the love of God and the good news of salvation. No one, not even perhaps a person you and I might be thinking of right now, that we've considered a lost cause. This living water that Jesus talks about is the Holy Spirit, who can then come and recreate us in God's image, and he sustains us in the new life that he promises. The life that the Holy Spirit produces in us makes us a new creation in Jesus Christ. What then do you thirst for? What do you really thirst for? Be honest, not pious. Is it wealth? Is it security? Is it health, well-being? Maybe it's fame or recognition. Is it love? Interestingly, the Samaritan woman, went away and left her water jar by the well. She never actually got the water she came for. Or did she? Symbolically, this act of leaving the water jar at the well is a sign that her thirst was quenched by this encounter with Jesus. She was no longer thirsty, at least spiritually speaking. Jesus, giver of living water, quenched her deepest thirst, and he longs to quench yours too. Friends, reflect this week on the undeniable thirst that is within you, because we all thirst for something. Once you are aware of what it is, make the conscious choice to let Jesus Christ quench it with his living water. If you do this, you will leave lots of jars behind, all those things that never satisfy, have never satisfied, and never will satisfy you in exchange for Christ's living water. O Lord, you are the living water that my soul needs. May I meet you in the heat of my day, in the trials of life, and in my shame and guilt. May I encounter your love, gentleness, and compassion in these moments, and may that love become the source of my new life in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand.